what I want to do is just give a little bit of an overview, very short and precise, of what we did last time, so that we know what we want to do today. We're raising a fundamental hakira that gives us a structure that we can apply in many, many different sugyas and shas. And the focal point of that discussion, and we're going to try to use manim, and then we'll go on and extend to other areas of Aruch Chaim, like tefillah and kriyat shema and brachos. We're going to use manim as a window to analyze this structure of a hakira. The hakira is as follows. Is the din absolutely necessary? Is it essential to create a halos, a halachic entity? In other words, do I need X, this din, in order to generate a status in halacha? Or is it not necessary? We could call it accidental, meaning it's an add-on, it's technical, it's mechanical, but it doesn't define the essence of the halos. Now, when I say halos, in the broadest sense, it could be a halos in a day. Let's say yom. We have a halos in yom. A yom kadosh, makudosh, a yom miyuchad. It means that the day itself is endowed with a special character, and it engenders certain dinim. Okay? Or I could be referring to a heftah. This object has a certain status. It may be hegdesh. It may be designated for a mitzvah. I could be referring to a maisa, an action. The action has a halachic status. It's a maisa mitzvah, for example. So what is this particular din that we want to analyze? Is it essential or is it accidental? Now, what we discussed last time was how to define a yom ha-miyuchad. What is absolutely necessary? For example, in the case of Purim, we might say Purim is a special day endowed with its own status by virtue of a chiyuv simcha. And that chiyuv simcha on Purim expresses itself in a chiyuv seuda. So there's an obligation, requirement to eat a seudas Purim. Am I right? So that defines the day as a day of simcha. And in the case of, we spoke about a Chal Shem Yom Mekudosh, which is Doraisa, like the Gibel Regalim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim. There we have a whole bunch of other elements that reflect the Kedushas Hayom. You can have Yisur Malacha, you can have Karbanos, you can have Mitzvah Hayom. All those are on a Doraisa level. The Mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel in the case of Shalosh Regalim. When we get down to Chanuk and Purim, which are Derabanan, we're no longer talking about a Yom HaMekudosh. The day doesn't have any kedusha per se. It doesn't have any isur malacha. It doesn't have a mitzvah on a doraisa level, any mitzvah hayom. It doesn't have a mitzvah of karban. It doesn't engender a chiyuv aliyah l'regel. But what it does have, it has a status of a yom hamiyuchad. That's what we were talking about. And we suggested that there might be a fundamental difference between Purim and Hanukkah. We pointed out, I'll just, again, just to recap it so we know where we're coming from, the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, in Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel of Hilchos Megillah, the Rambam says,
just a clarification, sorry. Yeah. Yom HaMiyuchad, or he's calling the Derabbanans?
The Derabbanans, we're calling Yom HaMiyuchad.
Instead of Yom HaMakudash is Derabbanans.
Derabbanans, right. So in the case of Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, Hadlokas haneros vahen mitzvah midivrei sofer kikriyas hamegillah. The Rambam says that the mitzvah of Hadlokas ner Chanukah, in a sense, stands on the shoulders of the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah and Purim. Right, we discussed last time that Megillah was a major breakthrough in which the Chachamim created a new day in the calendar year with its own mitzvos, and that would be Lechora at the face of it, Bal Tosif. And we discussed at great length last time why there's no violation of Bal Tosif in establishing a special Yom HaMiyuchad in the calendar with its own mitzvos. And then Hanukkah, which came much later than Megillah, stands on the shoulders of Megillah. That's what we discussed last time. The Rambam writes, V'yomim Elu, the 8 days of Hanukkah, Mikroim Hanukkah v'hem asurim v'hesped v'tainis kimea purim. Here the Rambam says that Hanukkah is going to stand on the shoulders of Purim, not just with regard to the mitzvah of Hadlaka, but also with regard to the Iser Hesped V'tainis. So I'm enjoined from fasting during the 8 days of Hanukkah. Is that Simcha? And it's very interesting that the Rambam Hilchos Tainios, which we pointed out last time, adds something else to this list of an Iser Hesped V'tainis. Does anybody remember what we discussed? Rosh Chodesh. The Rambam is Perek Aleph Halacha Tes, Hilchos Tainios, and the Rambam says the following. He says, Lo yis'ane b'shabbosos v'lo b'moados v'lo b'roshei chadoshim v'lo b'chanukah purim. So, if the Rambam is talking about Chanukah and Purim, I understand. Chanukah and Purim are days that are designated, at least in the Rabbanon, as days of Simcha. The Rambam is actually outspoken about that. The Rambam in Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel of Hilchos Megillah says that these 8 days are days of Simcha. So I understand that Simcha, at the very bare minimum, defines the day as a day of Iser Tainis, what we call Simcha B'Shevi Altas. What about Rosh Chodesh? And it's very interesting that the Rambam, when he wants to explain why there's an Iser Tainis on Chanukah, he says, V'masurim behesped v'tainis ki yimei hapurim. What do you notice about the Rambam? Ki yimei hapurim. 2 days of Purim. The Rambam in Hilchos Megillah goes out of his way to tell you that you're not allowed to fast neither on Yudalid nor on Tesvav. And it doesn't matter whether you're Ben Ir or Ben Krach. So there are 2 days of Iser Tainis for everyone. It means that even though the day is not endowed with the classical full-blown mitzvah of Simcha, it still retains its identity as a Yom HaMiyuchad. It has the bare necessity, if you will, what defines the essence of the day, and that is what? An Iser Tainis. The Iser Tainis is the barest minimum. So if we would create a totem pole, we could start with Chanukah at the bottom of the totem pole. That at least has the barest minimum of Simcha, a Simcha that expresses itself b'shev v'altase in an Iser Tainis. We go up one Madriga to Purim, which has a Chiv Simcha that expresses itself in a Kubba Seya Chiv Sukkah. And then beyond that, we have every Rega, which has a Mitzvah Simcha, that's the Raisa, plus all the other dimensions of the Kiddush Sayyum. Why did the Rambam go out of his way to mention that Chanukah is also the Tainus Ki Yimei HaPurim? Well, if I'm a Ben Krach, and I celebrate Purim on Shushan Purim, why can't I fast on Yudalit? It's not Purim for me. The answer is, it is Purim for you. And what defines Yudalit as a day of Purim for Ben Krach? Iser Tainis. So the Iser Tainis is what's absolutely essential to set up the day as a special day. The Rambam in Hilchos Tainis adds Rosh Chodesh to the list. Rosh Chodesh, like Chanukah, has no kumva say, no positive command of simcha and suda, but it has a simcha, the Yom Simchas, you remember 10:10, which expresses itself in what? In an Iser Tainis. So what we have here now is an answer to our original Chakira, namely, If I want to engender a din of Yom HaMiyuchad, which as we said is Derabbanan, what is my barest essential din? These are times. Chaim, you want to say something? Okay, that's what we discussed last. This is just a sort of an overview of what we discussed last time.
Yeah, and then we're not saying that that original, that Isser Tainus has to stem from that Isser Simcha. I mean, we assumed that, and one would have said that Isser Tainus would be like the antithesis to Simcha. So the fact that there is an Isser Tainus is not.
The mitzvah of Simcha expresses itself in an Isser Tainus. That's right. The barest minimum.
Right, so
it's the, what we call Simcha B'Shei V'Altasa.
By Hanukkah, I thought we were trying to mention there is no inherent Simcha. Is there inherent Simcha then by?
Well, the Rambam defines Hanukkah as a day of Simcha.
Right.
That the Rambam is outspoken
and
on.
And that would explain why there's an Isser.
Correct.
Time, right?
Now we're adding a mitzvah of Simcha to Rosh Chodesh, but again, which Simcha? It's the barest essential Simcha. What's the essential Simcha? These are times. So on Rosh Chodesh, there's no Chiyuv Suda, whereas in Purim, there is a Chiyuv Suda, but what we do have on Rosh Chodesh, says the Rambam, is an Isser times. That's what I call the barest essential.
Oh,
so Hallel could be viewed in the same Chakira. And we'll come back to Hallel a little later. Is Hallel essential to Yom HaMiyuchad? And then you're going to have to say in the case of Purim, where is Hallel? Kriyas HaMegillah. Or is Hallel an add-on mitzvah? It's a mitzvah that enhances and expresses the day, but it's not essential to the day.
Is
Rosh Chodesh has Hallel or doesn't have Hallel? It does not have Hallel. There's no Hallel in Rosh Chodesh. In fact, does Chol HaMoed have Hallel? In the case of Pesach? In the case of Pesach, there's no Hallel on Chol HaMoed. I'm not talking about Minhagim now. So you see, L'chora, at the face of it, that Hallel is an expression of the day, but it doesn't define the essence of the day.
Is Hallel, do we know that Hallel is a factor of Simcha, or is it more Sheva?
I don't know. I don't want to get off on a tangent on Hallel now because, you know, we have a lot to cover today. Yeah, I don't begin to dream of how I'm going to cover everything I have on my agenda today.
And how do we see from the comparison between Hanukkah and Purim with regards to there being an Isser Tainus that the Isser Tainus by Hanukkah is essential to the fact that it's a Yom HaMiyuchad? How do we see that from the comparison to Purim?
No, all I'm saying is that in the Rambam's frame of reference, by defining Hanukkah as a day of Simcha, we have to ask ourselves the question, well, how does that Simcha express itself? Does it mean I'm supposed to dance and sing? Yeah, maybe.
So what are we
I'm
getting?
Not opposed to that.
So what are we
but that's, you know, that's not what the Rambam demands. What the Rambam does say is that the Simcha of Hanukkah expresses itself in what? In Easter times. That's what I call Simcha B'Shei V'Altas. What I'm suggesting is that if you were to rob, if you were to strip the Isser Tainus, strip Hanukkah of its Isser Tainus, then you're left without the essential mitzvah of the day, which the Rambam defines as Hallel, as Simcha. Now you can ask that Hallel, does that also define the day of Hanukkah? And if it does, then we have something absolutely fascinating, that Hallel defines the day of Hanukkah. There's no Hanukkah without Hallel. Purim, one could argue, ostensibly, there is Hallel, but you can have problems with other days that are Miyuchad. And that's not necessarily a problem. It could be that we're going to have to take Zmanim and split it up. You know, it's not uniform. For simplicity's sake, I'm assuming that it's uniform, but that's not really true. It's just pedagogical. In truth, it could be that Hallel is essential for one day, but not for another day. Okay then? But what we do seem to find, that in all days that have miyuchadus, that are designated as a Chol HaMoed Yom in the Hebrew calendar, there's at least an Easter time. That's my thesis at this point.
By Rosh Chodesh, does the Rambam call it a Yom Simcha?
No.
So.
But we built a lot on the Ramban last night, that the Torah says in Bamidbar 10:10 that it's Yom Simchas, that there's a day, the day of Simcha. I mean, again, how to work out the Rambam? You have to go through the Rambam and say from mitzvahs and the Ramban, you know.
But if he's not calling it a Yom HaSimcha, then how is he? I mean, he's saying that is the defining factor.
To group what with times?
To group say Isser Titus on Rosh Chodesh.
Right, the Isser Titus on Rosh Chodesh, according to the Rambam, is the only din that we have. I call it simply. You might call it Isser Titus. I call it simply the Shei Alta. So the Rav, so the Baruch Papa used to use that phrase. You know, not in
Kaddish. So I'm asking on Rosh Chodesh, it should be simply the Shei Alta.
And that's the Isser Titus that the Rambam says. But the Rambam looks for a source for that, and he finds the source for that in Purim. It's fascinating that Purim becomes the source for an Isser Titus. Kiyameya Purim. But again, you have to emphasize the Kiyameya Purim. The fact that for a Ben Yudalid, there's an Isser Titus on Tesvav and vice versa, that itself could be the basis for the Isser Titus on Hanukkah and on Rosh Chodesh as well. Okay, that's Adkan. This is what we discussed last time. I just want to point out that last time we had a long discussion about the Rambam in Perek Gimel Milchus Megillah Halacha Dalid, where the Rambam says, Kol Achayav B'Kriyas HaMegillah Chayav Adlokas Ner Chanukah. And once again, the Rambam now is looking at a list of individuals, of categories of individuals, and asking who on this list is obligated to light Ner Chanukah. And he says the answer to that is who on that list is be obligated to hear the Megillah. So once again, Megillah becomes the foundation for deciding who's Chayav in Ner Chanukah. And we suggested last time that the Chiddush of the Rambam is that when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi includes Noshim in the Chiyuv of Mikra Megillah, why? And the same logic Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi applies to Chanukah. The Chiddush here is that even though both Chanukah, both Megillah and Chanukah are classical cases of Mitzvah Seh Sheh, Hazman, Groman, and less women are included in the Chiyuv, the Rambam's Chiddush is that what the breakthrough of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, as far as the Chiyuv Noshim is concerned, is really Purim. Why? Because we could define Purim under two different categories. We could say it's a technical act of Kriyas HaMegillah. The Maisa Kriya itself is the mitzvah. And any relationship to Ness, to miracle, to publicizing and remembering the miracle, Zichron and Nes, that's all secondary. That's not essential. For example, we discussed the case of tefillin. The famous kasha, why women are not obligated in tefillin when the Torah says, L'man tia Torah Hashem b'ficha, ki b'yod chazaka, hotziach Hashem Yitzrayim. The Torah, in the context of tefillin, injects Yitzias Mitzrayim. Nope. Women were included in Yitzias Mitzrayim, so should I therefore have self factor derive a conclusion based on the logic of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that women are included in the mitzvah tefillin? Again, you know, in certain circles they'll put me in chayrim for that, and rightfully so. So what's the answer to this question? Why is it that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi could include women in the Ness of Purim? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi could include women in the Ness of Hanukkah? And yet, with regard to tefillin, we're not going to include women because they're included in the Ness of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Tosfos, in fact, in many places in Shas asks the question, let's include women in the mitzvah of matzah, not because, as the Gemara establishes, a hekesh between matzah and sukkah, but let's establish because matzah is zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim, v'yafein hoyim, also on Ness. So what's the answer? Why shouldn't women be obligated to tefillin? And when the Torah says, so here we said, in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, this is very profound. Rav Moshe wants to suggest the following. There are some mitzvahs where the mitzvah, we'll call it the Maisa mitzvah, called the Kiyuma mitzvah, is related to Ness, not just secondarily, but essentially. Okay, again, we're differentiating as we are throughout this discussion between essential and a relationship. How do we view the Ness and its relation to the mitzvah? Is the Kiyuma mitzvah inherently, essentially Ness, meaning remembering the Ness, demonstrating the Ness, or Ness could be the backdrop for the mitzvah, it's related to the mitzvah, it might even enhance the mitzvah, but it's not the goof of shol mitzvah, it's not essential to the mitzvah. It's secondary, it's extraneous to the mitzvah. And here Rav Moshe used to say that there's a fundamental difference between Ness in the case of Kriyas HaMegillah and Ness in the case of Tefillin. In the case of Kriyas HaMegillah, Ness defines the very essence of the mitzvah. When we read the Megillah, we are publicizing the Nes. That's the Maisa Mitzvah, that's the Kiyuma Mitzvah. So you want to generate this Chalos Mitzvah, Megillah. What you need, and it's absolutely essential, is Nes. Therefore, anyone who's included in the Nes is included in the Mitzvah. But in the case of Tefillin, it's true, it's undeniable, that Nes has a relationship to Tefillin, and Tefillin to Nes. But it's not true, says Rav Moshe, that Tefillin is essentially Nes. So you can have an element which is related to the Mitzvah, but it doesn't define its essence. What defines the essence of Tefillin? The Maisa HaNochas Tefillin. And if that's a Mitzvah Seichas Vagrava, women are exempt. In Megillah, we could have argued that what defines the mitzvah? The Maisa Kriya. In Hanukkah, what defines the mitzvah? The Maisa Hadlaka. Name. Says the Rambam. What we see from Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is that it's not enough to implement a technical act of Kriya Samegillah or a technical act of Hadlaka Saner. The essence of the mitzvah, its Maisa, reflects the Nes. The Nes, the miracle, is reflected in the very essential Maisa mitzvah and generates the Kiyuma Mitzvah. Therefore, anyone who's included in the Nes is included in the Mitzvah. Women are included in the Nes of Purim, therefore, it's a facto, they're included in the Nes in the Mitzvah of what? Kriya Samegillah. Women are included in the Nes of Hanukkah. Again, I'm not entering into the gigantic machlokas we've shown him, what that means included in the Nes, whether it means they generated the miracle, they are responsible for the miracle, disclosed mushrooms and kadiyos, or whether it means that they too were part of the Hatzalah. I'm not entering into, that's not relevant to our discussion. The point being that women, because they have a participation in the miracle, therefore they're included in the obligation to publicize that miracle. But only if the publicity of the Nes, of the miracle, is essential to the mitzvah itself. It defines the mitzvah. It's reflected in the vice of mitzvah and it generates the kibbutz. It's in tefillin? That was a Moshe's chiddush? No. Women are not included in tefillin. True. That there is a relationship between Nes, meaning Yetzias Mitzrayim in this case, and Tefillin, but Yetzias Mitzrayim does not define the Mitzvah of Tefillin. The Mitzvah of Tefillin doesn't reflect, and it doesn't necessitate any sort of demonstration of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Kiyuma Mitzvah of Tefillin is obtained regardless of, irrelevant to, Pirsum HaNes. There's no Pirsum HaNes. I still get the Mitzvah of Tefillin. And therefore falls back to the normal categories of Mitzvah Sei, Shazman Grav Noshim, Noshim Peturos. I give you just one more minute. I wanted today, because again, we got to get on to today. This is all, what was it? October, what? September 12th. Okay, September 12th. I hope we'll meet more frequently than that. What I wanted to add today is the following. We have a group of, I'm going to call it action, it's not mitzvahs, because otherwise, I'm giving away the whole ballgame here. We have a group of actions that we do, Mishum Zecher L'Migdash. And I'm wondering if we could apply the Rav's logic here, actually the Moshe's logic, that structure of essential or background, technical, accidental, secondary, that whole structure, to the case of this list of actions that are implemented Mishum Zecher L'Migdash. The Rambam, let me share with you the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, let's see if I can get it for you. If you have a chance to look up the sources later, you'll see it a little bit more clearly inside. The Rambam says the following. This is Perek Ches Halacha Ches 8-8 from Chometz Uman. Says the Rambam, and I'm reading only the last line in a very long halacha of the Rambam, who presents the Seder of Asiyas Mitzvah Salayla of Pesach. He says, V'yachka v'chozer v'korech. You've all heard of Korech. Matzah u'maror u'mitabil v'charoses v'ochlon b'lo brach zecha l'midrash. Now this is interesting, because I don't know what to put in the space between the word bracha and zecha. Meaning, when Rama says below bracha, zecha l'migdash, what's the relation between those two phrases? It could be that the Rama is just telling us two different things. and one breath. Below bracha is no bracha and korech. And you should know that the reason for korech is zeichel mikdash. That's not the way I want to read the Rambam. Again, you'll have to read the Rambam yourself. I'm not trying to brainwash you. I'm just trying to use this as a methodology. My point is only methodology. I'm going to read it, the ochla below bracha, and why? Because it's zeichel mikdash. Meaning, if I'm doing an action, who can think, for example, of actions? Okay, we have some chassanim here in the audience. What actions do you do zeichel mikdash?
Breaking glass.
What else? When you build a home, you leave dalet al dalet, correct? There are many things that we do, zeichel mikdash. Would you make a bracha on them?
No.
And I think the answer lies right here in this Rambam. In Korach, says the Rambam, there's no bracha. Why? Because what is the essential definition of this action? What's its purpose? Zeichel mikdash. So in the Rambam's structure, then, zeichel mikdash equals no bracha. Okay? That's fine and dandy, until I open up a Mishnah in Masechtas Sukkah on Daf Mem Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai she'lulav nitol b'medina kol shiva zeichel mikdash." So we take the lulav 7 days during Sukkot because it's zeichel mikdash. Anybody have a cash on the Rambam? Do we make a bracha? I don't know if any kihila that doesn't make a bracha on lulav kol shiva. And furthermore, let's look at the Rambam's language in Perek Zayin Halacha Tesvav, Mihilchus Lulav. The Rambam says, Mishachorev Beis HaMikdash Hiskinu, okay, he doesn't mention Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Hiskinu Shei Lulav Nito B'chol Mokum Kol Shivus Me'achad Zeichel HaMikdash. And then he goes on and he says, V'chol Yom V'yom Mevarech Alav, Asher Kishon Mitzos Tzimona, V'chol Yom V'yom Al Antilus Lulav. And the Rambam almost added this lafuke, that we shouldn't come to the mistaken conclusion based on the Rambam Hilchos Chametz Matzah Ches that Korech as the paradigm of Zeichel HaMikdash is no bracha. Says the Rambam here, there is a bracha. But perhaps the answer to this seeming contradiction lies in one word: hiskin. Or as the Mishnah says, iskin. What does that indicate? Do you remember that distinction between Hanochas Tefillin in Rav Moshe's frame of reference as the Maisa Mitzvah, the Kiyama Mitzvah, as opposed to the Ness element that we have to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim?
The whole Mahos of shaking a Lulav isn't just Zeichel HaMikdash.
Excellent. It's what?
It's doing the Maisa.
It's the Maisa and the Tima. The Rambam wants to say that there was a special takana here of Maisa and the Tima. The essence of the Mitzvah is Maisa and the Tima. And if the essence of the mitzvah is maisa netila, then it deserves what? A bracha. But suppose I have an action, the essence of which is the zeichel mikdash. It's only the intellectual awareness of the beis hamikdash. That doesn't deserve a bracha. Let's explain. What we're doing now is we're applying Rav Moshe's logic, but in the opposite direction. Rav Moshe's logic was that if there's a zecher element inherent, essential to the mitzvah, like in the cases of Purim, Megillah, and Chanukah, Ner Chanukah, then we include women and we, in a sense, jack up the mitzvah. We crank it up. It gets another decimal. We add the women into the field. What we're suggesting is that let's apply the same methodology of Rav Moshe's Soloveitchik. But in this case, because the zecher element is essential to the mitzvah, we're going to crank down the mitzvah. When the mitzvah is purely zecher, then it doesn't get a bracha. We don't make a bracha on the zecher. Maybe you'll have the zecher, he won't, whatever it is. There's no objective maisa mitzvah. In order to make a bracha, we need an objective maisa mitzvah. Says the Rambam, when the Chachamim were masaking a particular Maisa, which now takes on a life of its own, it has a status, it has a Chalushem halachically as a Maisa Mitzvah, then on every Maisa Mitzvah we make a bracha, without exception. But when the Chachamim were looking for a variety, a large, long list of variety of methods to remind you of the Beis HaMikdash, there the Maisa does not take on a status of a Maisa Mitzvah. It's pure Zecher. The entire mitzvah from beginning to end is really intellectual. It's in your mind. Doesn't deserve a bracha. A bracha is only on us. fascinating is Tosis in Mesechta Megillah, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, was bothered by the following question. He says, sometimes when we do a Zechel and Migdash, we add a Hiratzon afterwards. Right? For example, he says, after Sfiras HaOmer, we recite a Hiratzon. This is not some Hasidic addition. This is in Tosis. Tosis, we say, Hiratzon, Shibona Beis HaMigdash, Meir Yemenu, etc., etc. And Tosis says, why don't we do the same thing by Lulav? Lulav is also Mishum Zechel and Migdash. And yet there's no Yehiratzon after the Lulav. And Tosis gives a very strange answer. He says, because a Lulav has an Asir. Sfiras HaOmer doesn't have an Asir. In other words, Tosis doesn't see in Sfiras HaOmer a Maisa Mitzvah. You and I might have said that Sfir itself is a Maisa Mitzvah. Tosis says, nah. I can't change the words Tosis. I'm committed to protect Tosis, you know, till death do us part. I can't undermine. Tosis says that Sfir is not an Asir. Shofar is an Asir. Matzah is an Asir. Lulav is an Asir. You can do all sorts of things, Mishum Zechel and Migdash. There's no need to add Yehirot, unless there's no Asir. Now again, Tosis doesn't say, therefore we should drop the bracha on Sfiras HaOmer. I wouldn't be surprised if we come up with Rishonim who would drop a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer in the light of Tosis' understanding that Sfira is not a Maisa Mitzvah, it's purely Zechel and Migdash. The Gemara, in fact, in Menachos says that because Sfiras HaOmer is only Zechel and Migdash, is we count days and not weeks. You see that it's not exactly like the original Sfiras HaOmer as it was at the time of Migdash. We just need a Zechel. But Tosis says, if you want to upgrade this action to a Zechel, you need something to remind you, because otherwise the whole point of Sfiras HaOmer is lost. It goes down the tube. So what method mechanically are we going to use to encourage you to engender that thought process of Zechel Migdash in the case of Sfiras HaOmer? We're going to tag on a Hiratzon. There are some Yishonim who say b'chlal that if mitzvah sfichus kavanah, we need a birkas mitzvah in order to get us in the mood for having kavanah to the mitzvah. But here we have the Yiratzon after the action. Tosis says because there's no action. When there is an action, I don't have to remind myself of Zechel Migdash. I don't need the Yiratzon. Why not? Is this some sort of psychological principle? Maybe. But I would suggest that it's not at all. What Tosis really means is that since there's a Maisa Mitzvah, that Maisa Mitzvah is meaningful in and of itself. I take a lulav called Shiva, that's a key of my Mitzvah. Do I have Zechel HaMikdash? Do I not have a Zechel HaMikdash? Zechel HaMikdash would enhance the Mitzvah, would embellish it. It's a tag-on, it's an add-on, but it's not essential. In the case of Sfiras HaOmer, Sfiras HaOmer lacking the status of a Maisa is only, it exhausts itself. Its essence is Zechel HaMikdash. And therefore, without the Hiratzon, I forfeit the key of Sfiras HaOmer. What I'd like to do with you now, and this is going to be a lot of fun, I hope, is I want to learn with you two lines in the Gemara Pesachim. I don't know if you've all covered that Beis Amud Beis. Some skipped Beis Amud Beis. But if you learn Beis Amud Beis, there's a fascinating machlokes between Rav Acha bar Yaakov, two Tanoim, Rav Acha bar Yaakov and Rav Yehuda, regarding the Isur Malach and Erev Pesach. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Isur Malach and Erev Pesach is engendered with Hanetzach Ham. According to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, we start with Alos Hashem. Now, let's just fill in a little background. The universal halachic definition of a day is not, some people don't miss the boat on this, is not Hanetzach Ham. It's Alos Hashach. In fact, the Mishnah says in Megillah, Mitzvah Hayom is Ksher Kol Yom, even from Alos Hashach. There may be reasons why the Rabbana want you to wait till Hanetzach Ham. But as far as Doraisa is concerned, and this whole sugya is dealing with Doraisa definitions, as we'll soon see, the day begins, the kickoff of the day is Amud Hashach. So then, Rav Acha bar Yaakov accuses Rav Yehuda, if the Isur Malacha begins with Hanetzach Hama, then you've basically chopped off a piece of the day from this Isur Malacha, namely that time period, that interval between Alos Hashach and what? Hanetz. We'll call it 45 minutes, whatever it might be. So that period of time was chopped off. You've lopped off the head of the day. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov, in attacking Rav Yehuda, he says the following. This is in the Braisa on Daf Beis Amud Beis. He says, Heichan Matsinu, Amalei Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, L'Rav Yehuda, Heichan Matsinu, Yom Shemiktsaso Asur Basiyas Malacha, U'miktsaso Mutar Basiyas Malacha. Where do we find that the day itself is broken up into its parts? So the Gemara says, I don't get it. He's attacking Rabbi Yehuda? Ke'ilu, this question does not reflect itself back onto him? Let's ask him the same question. A day in halacha, when you count the day, you start with the night, right? And then you count the day. You yourself, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, have split the day in half because you've cut out the night from the Issur Melacha. Question clear? Let's go over it one more time, because if you don't have this, you might lose the cheshbon here. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov attacks Rav Yehuda because he splits the day in half. So the Gemara says, and you, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, you're impervious to this attack? What about you? You're also splitting the day. You're splitting the night and the day. So the Gemara says, Bishleima l'didimich. He has no problem. There's definitely a precedent for splitting night and day into two separate zman. The Gemara's two lines in the Gemara. Gemara says, "Bishleim l'didi ashkechana de kapalgi rabbanon ben yimama l'leila." This nan gabi tainis tzibur ad masai ochel v'shoser ad sheyale amud hashachar. By the way, did I say Rav Acha Bar Yaakov? I correct myself. It's Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov. So Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov points out that we do have a precedent to the Rabbanon splitting day and night. In what case? Tanis Tzibur. When do we begin fasting? With Alos Hashachar. But you, Rabbi Yehuda, you're splitting the day itself. What precedent do you have to split the day? So the Achronim all ask the kasha. If Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is working overtime to find a precedent that we split a day into Laila and Yom, there's an entire Mishnah in the Masechta Megillah at the end of the second parak, which categorizes mitzvahs under two different categories. There are mitzvahs of Laila and there are mitzvahs of Yom. The mitzvahs of Yom are engendered by Alos HaShachar, and the mitzvah of Laila are engendered by Tzeis HaKochavim. Why is Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov working? Yeah. So you could say that Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov wants to see if the Rabbanan do such a thing. But in truth, the Mishnah there, Megillah, lists mitzvahs that are the Rabbanan. For example, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah begins with Amud HaShachar, with day. The night doesn't engender a mitzvah Megillah. There was a later takana of Yeshua ben Levi to read the Megillah at night as well. But the mitzvah of the Megillah, as it's mandated by the Megillah itself, Hayyamim Ha'elun Iskar V'yam, is Yamim, is engendered by Amud HaShachar. So we have a whole slew of mitzvahs that only apply by day and don't apply by night. Why couldn't they serve as the precedent to split day and night? So what I have here in front of me are Rav Schechter's notes. I learned something by the Rav, but Rav Schechter was in a different round of Masechta Pesachim. So to my knowledge, the Rav taught Pesachim twice. Maybe it was a third time. But in Rav Schechter's time, I don't know how many of you have ever seen Rav Schechter's notes. Unfortunately, I only have a few pages of them. I don't know where I misplaced the rest of it. But he writes very, very succinctly. It's very abridged. You have to read it like a dozen times in order to figure out what he means. He used to write up the shiurim at the end of the week, all the shiurim on Motzei Shabbos. He sat and he wrote up all the shiurim, and he was dafka trying to shorten them and abridge them. But what I think I understand is I'm going to try to present to you, and if that's not what the Rav meant, then we can say it on our own. I think it's worthy of being said. The Mishnah of Mitzvos would not be relevant to Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov. It would not help him prove that we split a day into two zman. He's interested in Issur Melach, or something similar to Issur Melach, which we'll find in the case of Tanis. Mitzvos are different. Mitzvos means that the Torah commanded you to do a mitzvah. Now the Torah sets up a condition. Well, there's 365 days out of the year. When do I fulfill this mitzvah? Give me a time zone that begins with T1 and ends with T2, and that's the period of time, the interval of time, which the Torah recognizes allows you to fulfill the mitzvah. What you're saying now is nothing about Zmanim. You're saying something about the mitzvah. So the mitzvah engenders a chiyuv, we'll call it a chovetz gavra, and now the Torah sets up as a tnai in the chovetz gavra, during which period of time you can fulfill the mitzvah. The Torah can give you 1 minute to fulfill the mitzvah, it can give you an hour, it can give you 10 hours, it can give you a full day, it can be 24 hours, it can give you a week, it can give you a full year to do the mitzvah. That's not relevant to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Why? Because Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov is looking at Isur Malach. Isur Malach is not like a mitzvah. Isur Malach is not an asiyah. It's not a ma'aseh mitzvah that you do, and now we have to ask ourselves, where's the time interval, the time period in which I can fulfill and implement that mitzvah? Isur Malacha starts with what? What engenders an Isur Malacha? Zman. Zman engenders an Isur Malacha. Isur Malacha is a span of time. It's not focused on one particular point in time. There's what's called a Chalashem Zman, and that Chalashem Zman engenders an Isur Malacha. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I have a problem here. Because I have to find a precedent for myself. I have to stand on the shoulders of some precedent in which, instead of calling a yom a zman, I can take the yom and split it into two zmanim. In which Laila becomes one zman, and yom, kicked off by Elos HaShachar, engenders another zman. And yom and Laila, two different zmanim. Where do I find such? So again, let's go over it. Mitzvahs would not serve as a proof to support Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Because mitzvah, we start with the mitzvah. There's no din of zman. The din of zman is a tnai in the mitzvah. The asiyah is only meaningful within a certain period of time. What we want to know is, when the zman engenders a chaloshem zman, a special zman, for example, when there's an isur malacha which reflects the nature of that zman, and that isur malacha is not focused and concentrated on one asiyah, but rather it's a stretch of zman in which the entire period of time has to be observed as a period in which I abstain from halacha. What is my period of time? And the answer is the halacha only operates with one period of time, a yom, but not with yom and laila. Mitzvahs won't prove a thing. Ah, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I have a precedent. What's my precedent? Tainus Tzibur. What's Tainus Tzibur? It's an Isra Achila and Shasiya. If it's an Isra Achila and Shasiya, we're not talking about an Asiya. We're not focused on one particular moment. When the Torah commands me in the midst of Tainus, it's not telling me that there's an Asiya that has to be limited to a certain time. On the contrary, where do I start with? I don't start with the mitzvah. I start with the Zman. The Zman engenders an Isra Tainus. And not only that, but, and here I get back to our Chakira, the Isur Tainus, the Isur Achil and Shasiya, defines the Zman itself. What would you imagine if the Torah would allow me to eat during that period of time? Then that Zman could not be a Zman of Tainus. The very Chaloshem Yom Tainus expresses itself by its very essence in Isur, in Himanut, in abstention from Achil and Shasiya. During that period of time. That's what reflects the Zman of Tainus. And that's what Yom HaTainus is. Now, if that be the case, then when should Yom HaTainus begin? It can only begin when? Because what's the Torah's definition of Yom? Laila and Yom together. Fine, on a derisal level, we have such a precedent. What is our paradigm, our model of Yom HaTainus? Yom Kippur? The Rabbanon instituted a Yom Tainus as well. What would be the classical Yom Tainus with the Rabbanon? Tisha B'Av. And once again, we have the Yom. But says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, lo and behold, with regard to Shaar Tainus, we have a Mishnah that says that you begin fasting with Amud Alos HaShachar. What do you see then? What do you have to say about the Laila? Rabbi Elazar, are you following me? Or did I lose you? Again, if we define the Zman as Isur Achilu and Shasiya, as Tainus, without the Isur Achilu and Shasiya, it's not a Zman of Tainus, then by the very virtue of the fact that according to this Mishnah, I begin fasting with Amud HaShachar, what does that tell you about Laila?
No status.
It has no status of Tainus. It can't be a Yom HaTainus. Because you've stripped it of its very essence. It cannot be a Yom HaTainus. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, what I see from this is that there are two Zman. There's a Zman called Laila, and there's a Zman called Yom. And therefore, when the Rabbanon engendered a Yom HaTainus, they could limit that Yom HaTainus to the day part of the day. So in Hilchos Sfiras Yomim, we always count days, we count the entire day, 24 period. But in Hilchos Zmanim, not in Hilchos Sfira, well, let's leave out Hilchos Sfira. Hilchos Sfira, there's no question that we have to count the entire day. But in Hilchos Zmanim, we can break down the Yom, that Sfiras Hayom, into two different Zmanim. There's a Zman called Laila and there's a Zman called Yom. Why? How do I see this? How do I prove this? From the fact that I'm allowed to eat at night, it means that there's no vestige of a Yom Tainus at night. So when does the Yom Tainus occur? Only by day. It's the Mele Rabbos, we'll just summarize. That what we see from this Chiddush of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is that the day itself as Yom Tainus starts with Yom, and therefore the Isur Melacha of Erev Pesach likewise can start with Yom. But when does Yom start? With a Shachar. Not like Rabbi Yehuda says, that the Isur Melacha is engendered with Hanetzach. Rav Shechter added here that the Rav was bothered by a riff, and with this we'll conclude. The riff in the first paragraph of Tainus quotes Yerushalmi that we recite Anenu on the night of the Tainus in Ma'ariv. Anenu b'yom tzom Tainusenu. What does that indicate? That even the Laila is part of Yom Tainus. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov used this halacha of Tainus as a proof text to the fact that the Laila separates itself from the Yom as a second Zman. And it's not Yom Tainus. In fact, according to the Rif, I'm absolutely bewildered. What vestige of Yom Tainus do we have in Laila? The chutzpah that we can say Anenu. What do you mean Anenu? Show me where that Yom Tainus at Laila expresses itself. And a similar thing we find in Purim. If Purim essentially is the time of Kriyas HaMegillah, well, the Mishnah says that Kriyas HaMegillah has to be by Yom. So what's the status of the night going into Purim? So it seems that you could have, according to the Rif, and maybe in the case of Purim as a precedent, a concept of a status in the Zman even without the essential mitzvah. That's a pella. That's something that we really have to back our brains on. And therefore, what? But you see, I'll tell you what it is. In the case of Purim, I think I can justify calling the night of Purim Purim. Because of the Chiv Hodo. Where does that Chiv Hodo express itself?
In
what?
The Kriyas of Megillah.
Well, no, I'm talking before Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. In the Mishnah, only has Kriyas of Megillah by day. After Amud HaShachar. So how is it that we can call, what a chutzpah, to call the night of Purim Purim? I mean, it's great we have a chagig in the Yeshiva, it's wonderful. But halachically, what makes it Purim? Chiv Hodo. Ah, exactly, Alanis. That Purim has, so again, if we wanted, just like we did with regard to the Nisar Tainus of Hanukkah and Rosh Chodesh, you know, we wanted to take the Yom HaMiyuchad and strip it down to its very, very essentials. What's the bare essential of calling a day Purim? Not the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. Because otherwise Laila couldn't be called Purim. But if we want to agree here, we'll make take a vote on it, that the Laila Purim is also part of Purim, and that all that Chagigah-ing is not just for naught, we can call it a brisker Chagigah as well. The answer is that there's another dimension of Purim, another mitzvah Purim, which defines the essence, the bare essential of Purim, and that applies even at night. Namely what? The Chiv Hodo. So even though the night is stripped of the Chiv Megillah, again before Rabbi Shimon Levi's time, and the days of it engenders the Chiv Megillah, nevertheless, we do have something to salvage, some vestige of a Yom Purim at night in the mitzvah of Hodo. But that the Rif should say that the night of the Titus, we recite our name, Rebbeinu Shalom, you're eating a full meal. And the post can say that according to the Rif, not to make a bar mitzvah on the night of Shabbos of the Talmud. But when Shabbos allows it, we don't pass like the Rif. But according to the Rif, says Rav Moshe Feinstein in Chumash Sigdus Moshe, we do not allow a bar mitzvah celebration on the night of Shavuos v'Talmuz. Why? Because Tzion times. Because the 3 weeks have already begun. Okay, Rav Osai, we'll stop here. Just go. Thank you so much.
Rabbi, what would be the nature of saying Al Chayit and Mincha, Erev Yom Kippur?
We had a long discussion about the status of Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is part of Yom Kippur itself. It has its man. Maybe we'll talk about it next time.
Why the Rebbe doesn't, you don't have to repeat it?
I wouldn't mind repeating it for myself.
Megillah, before Yishuv Shimulei, because Yishuv Shimulei quotes Psukim to indicate it seems like
right. But I'm assuming you have to go through the Sugyan Daftalit of Yishuv Shimulei. But I'm assuming that Yishuv Shimulei added on a takana of Kriyas Megillah at night.
That's not essential.
In the Mishnah, you don't find any remnants to it. The Mishnah says Kriyas Megillah. The earliest time for Kriyas Megillah is Hayomim Ma'ilim Niskar Benasim. The kickoff is on the Mishnah.
Wasn't my Korach, wasn't that the way that Hillel fulfilled the Maisa Mitzvah of Matzah? Wasn't that the way?
Yeah, but we don't pass on Kill. I would be absolutely convinced that according to Hillel, you make a brach on Korach, because Korach is the Maisa Mitzvah. Al Matzah Sumerom Yachlu.
Even Bizman Azeh, you would make a brach.
I don't know, you have to go through Ari Pesachim for that. I mean, right. That's a major sugi. You know, come back in a few months. At the speed we're going, come back in a few weeks. You know, we'll talk about it. Okay,
thank you very much.